probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately. But did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers. This one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards. So it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better.
Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo, and on this podcast, we talk about raising kids as Christian parents. It's so very important for me to honor God with my family and the two kids that He's given me, but honestly, it's not always neat or easy or tidy, but it's always worth it. So join us every week to laugh and learn together on this beautiful and messy journey of parenting. Resilient, courageous. These are qualities we want to describe our faith in God. But the truth is that faith is hard, especially when trials, setbacks, and failures seem to define us. Author and Bible teacher Alexandra Hoover invites you to join her for her newest Bible study, Without Wavering, Resilient Faith Built on the Promises of God. Alexandra Hoover will offer encouraging words of hope and examples of unwavering faith from the Bible. Drawing inspiration from the examples of faith in Hebrews 11 and the early church, you'll see that life's challenges don't have to define you. Through hope in Christ, you can become the woman who weathers the storms of life with renewed strength and confidence in who God is and who He says you are. Learn more about Without Wavering at lifeway.com/without-wavering. That's lifeway.com/without-wavering. Hey, friends. I guess I'm going to say this every week, but I'm so excited about this one. But I am. I guess I wouldn't agree to these episodes if I wasn't really pumped about the topics that we talk about, parenting and faith, and if I wasn't thrilled to talk to the guest. And I've had a lot of my friends on because I think we just get to the good stuff faster because we know each other well. And these two are no exception. So Jeff Henderson, we worked together at Chick-fil-A headquarters, and then he became my pastor and impacted a ton of those first moments as we were parents. Newlyweds, he was just amazing. And his wife, Wendy, y'all are going to find out, she is one of the funniest, most wise, grounded humans I've ever met. And I've called her over and over again over the years, what do I do about this? What do I do about this situation? And they're a season ahead. They're empty nesters. And you guys loved the series that we did called Empty Nester Wisdom. So there's more of that today. They talk about how hard and how awesome it is to be empty nesters. They look back and we talk about what to do next. So many of you are maybe in decisions, career decisions, or do we move or do we put this kid in this school? And it can be really daunting. And so we spent some time talking about his latest book, What to Do Next. And how did they do that as a couple? Because they've had some big moves and some big changes in their lives as well. So they're speaking to us from their own lives and their own hearts, and you will just fall in love with both of them. For more information on this couple, go to jeffhenderson.com and you will just enjoy today. Take care. Y'all, this is how we're starting. These are my friends, Jeff and Wendy Henderson. And I say that every time, but we're legit friends. Let's tell the good folks how we know each other. Who wants to start, Wendy? Why don't you tell?
Well, I would like to say that you and I went to Auburn together, but we didn't. You were behind me. But I think we may have been there at the same time. But
Yeah.
But you and Jeff have a history at Chick-fil-A together. So
yeah, we do.
That's right.
Yeah,
we met. And we had a... we had a great working relationship with one minor incident that we can talk about if we want to. I don't know if you're if you've forgiven me for that or not.
But I do forgive you.
Okay. But I stole one of Courtney's Eat More Chicken cows and put it on the side of a Chick-fil-A restaurant. And I kind of believe in the old adage, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. So
coming from the pastor. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. But we go way back.
And then then Buckhead Church days, you were there. I mean, I just feel like I don't know what a time that I haven't known Courtney, honestly.
Or a time that I haven't just called you randomly and been like, hey, I need your advice, like right now. And you're so gracious to take my calls.
Those are the best.
Yes, Jeff. Okay, so let's talk about that for a moment. So guys, we're talking about $5,000 fiberglass cows that go on billboards. So I got the pleasure of managing where they went, when they got their ear fixed, which billboard they were on. And somehow one was down. I don't even know. How did you find this? He decided to move it over to his friend's store and put it on the store, which is highly illegal in the creative services world. So how'd you do that? Where'd you find it?
It was in a warehouse and no one was seeing this because it was just packed away. And the operator was still is a really close friend of mine. He got relocated to this store and he's like, man, I just want to increase sales. And I saw this cow sitting there, nobody seeing in a warehouse. And I'm like, I know how we can increase sales. By the way, he did increase sales. But unfortunately, a lot of people lived near his store that worked at the corporate office. And they're like, they're driving through the drive-thru one day and they're like, who did this? So then I left there to go to be a pastor at Buckhead Church. So that's how that's.
Okay. Well, I did, you know, there's an official intro, which I'll record later. You know, I'm such a professional, but I did officially introduce you, but I want you guys to introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you're up to, and what season of life you're in.
I went into Auburn. Sorry, what? I don't really know where to start. I was going to say what we just talked about is I went to Auburn. Jeff went to Georgia, but he just spoke at something at Auburn and got him in, and it got him a certificate of a Auburn alumnus. And so that's not where we met, but he is now an officially, so I can say we're Auburn alums together. So, but just to give a backstory, we didn't both go there. He went to Georgia and is very proud of that. But
well, I'm 8 years older than Wendy. So when she graduated from Auburn, I had to take a day off of work to go to her graduation.
Right.
So that's I was halfway through my career and she was just graduating from Auburn. So
yeah, so we didn't meet there. Fun little
story. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have to say one of my favorite memories of you, because you would come around Chick-fil-A and I was like, man, she's hilarious. And you said something about his Ray Billy. Instead of Billy Ray, he had like a reverse mullet haircut or something.
He did. It was short in the back and long on the top.
How in the world do you remember
that's
that?
That's pretty funny that you remember that. I do remember that now.
I'm like, she's my people. She's my people. Okay, Jeff, we're going to do this for 30 minutes if you don't pull it together. Tell us officially who you are, what season of life you're in.
Well, you know, tomorrow, depending on, you know, obviously I know we're not launching the podcast tomorrow, but when we're recording it, tomorrow will be our 26th year and 10 month anniversary. So there you go.
Oh.
And so we're empty nesters now. We have two kids in Birmingham. Jesse works for Auburn Community Church and helping launch the Birmingham location. Cole just left for his senior year at Samford University. So we love our kids, but we highly recommend empty nesting. We're on the streak of going out of town for the next 6 weeks or some 6 weekends or something. So it's pretty good. So we highly recommend
it. I love it. Well, you guys are a little bit ahead of the game. Mine are, as people know, a freshman and junior. And so that's always been so nice to, well, you were my pastor and you were my pastor's wife. So I always thought you were mentors to me. But as we've been friends, it really is fun to say, okay, what did we talk about recently? Probably like boys or homecoming dresses or who knows? I'm like, Wendy, help me frame this in a way that is realistic. I want a relationship with my kids. And y'all have been so great about that. You really have parented in a way that I admire and respect. And so I know you didn't do it perfectly, but you've got kids that are not in jail. They are not on drugs at this time. So great job.
Thank you. Sometimes we're like, what did we do? Because they're really great kids. And we're like, I don't know what we did. They just really turned out well. We're very proud of them, but we don't know what we did. So something, but.
Well, you did a great job. All right. Well, I could talk to you about 300 topics, but Jeff, your latest book is helping people navigate what to do next. And I want to ask both of you about this because it's a family thing. When you're married and you have kids, sometimes those big either jobs or moves or transitions, and you've had quite a few from pastor to Chick-fil-A to pastor to all the things you've done. And Wendy, you've done some amazing things behind the scenes, which we're not going to downplay that. But how do you navigate that? Did y'all sit as a family? Like, tell us what that looked like for you as a family through all these transitions.
Well, so early on in our marriage, I made a big mistake in that I had a real estate deal and that I got involved in before Wendy and I got married. And so when we got married, we had to make a decision on it. And I said, I think we ought to do this. And then she said, I think we ought to do this. So I decided I'm going to do what I think. And it was a colossal disaster. So it was a painful lesson. That was maybe our second year of marriage, maybe something
like
that.
Yeah, second or third.
So like from that point on, Court, I've said, what do you think, Wendy? Because I'm just going to do what you think because you're smarter than me. So it's just so helpful to go into these decisions because here's the deal. When we left Chick-fil-A to go help start Buckhead Church, no, as you know, only crazy people like us leave Chick-fil-A, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're not on board together in that decision, let's say Wendy wasn't on board with the move to Buckhead Church and I was, and I come home and I have a really bad day at Buckhead Church. Wendy could have said, well, I told you we shouldn't have done this in the first place, right? But when I come home and have a bad day, she can remind me, no, we signed up for this together. So that was so helpful for me to go, what do you think we ought to do? Mm-hmm. And then as your kids get older, we were able to bring, especially this last decision, we were able to, they don't necessarily make the decision, but it will impact. So we wanted to make sure that, hey, what do you think? So.
Yeah, I think that's right. It was so honoring, even though we learned the hard way, it was so honoring for Jeff to include me so much in the process. And it was always an us decision. And it was, what is God calling us to do first? And then what are we wanting to do together? Like, are we on the same page? And I think when you have that first priority in place of following God, you're going to align on the second one of being together and on the same page. So I think that was the biggest thing. But we would meet with people together. You know, he would meet with some guys and I would talk to some gals, but then we would meet with couples together. And that was always very helpful. That was something that we've always done is kind of, you know, meet with people on a regular basis who are kind of ahead of us. So we're like, okay. So then in all of these changes, we find people either who we respect or who have made a similar change or something like that and kind of sit down with them and ask them all the questions, get their feedback, and then we're able to come together. But as Jeff said, with the kids, we have included them kind of appropriately, I think, with the Chick-fil-A move. They were so little. I think that we consider them in our decision for sure. We don't make a decision based on them and we include them in the conversation. And I think that's what we did probably more from Buckhead to Gwinnett because that was a smaller transition, but a big transition for our family, you know, and location and stuff. Yeah. So talking to them and getting their input and considering that, but then that helps you kind of all be together as a family on the same page.
And I give Wendy a lot of credit because she didn't sign up to be a pastor's wife. When we got married, she signed up to be the wife of a chicken salesman with a Ray Billy haircut, apparently. and that's a huge move from now you go from, you know, she's sitting on the front row. People have expectations for what a pastor's wife. In fact, when we sat down with my parents, because in that move, I also wanted to get the blessing of my parents and her parents. And so when we told my parents, my mom, who is a preacher's wife, most of her life, she looked at Wendy and said, honey, you don't want to do this.
That was comforting. We knew where she was coming from. She was just basically saying, this is going to be hard. And we felt like God had already prepared us for that. But at the same time, you know, we were prepared because she did say that. And so we were expecting hard, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah. But Wendy, I do want to take a moment to just affirm you because I think I joked about it before, but you were capable of being a CEO in your own right. You were incredibly smart. I mean it. You have helped me develop Treasured. You have guided families one-on-one. You're like my sister, where she is doing ministry all day long, but it looks more like one-on-one and it looks more unseen. And so I would love to know from you, first of all, thanks for the way you're behind the scenes as a pastor's wife and making Jeff look so good and smart all the time. But what would you say, how has this been with the, I know a lot of us, the identity piece gets a little shaken up. Has empty nesting been hard? How would you encourage a mom that's like, well, they're out of the house?
Yeah, I think, I have a friend who's, well, I have several friends who are launching their first in the season. And I came up with something the other day, and it's a little rhyme to talk about, like when your kids go off the first is the worst, but then the last is a blast. So, you know, it was really hard sending Jesse off.
So good. That'll preach.
So it was hard sending Jesse off because it's all new to us. It's new to her. It's new to us. It's new to Cole. I remember he was texting her going, I'm home alone with these two crazy people, you know? And so it was new to everybody. And then, but once you know that they're going, you know, you're launching them to thrive and you see them thrive, then we knew that for Cole. Like then we were ready when we launched him, he was ready for that. And he was, pumped. And, you know, so we got to launch him and then we were like, now it's our turn. And it was a blast. Yeah. However, in all of that, I was a stay-at-home mom. So all of my identity was wrapped up into that. So yeah, I did struggle with that. And I've talked with friends who have also struggled with that. And at times I still do, you know, cause you're like, and so I try to tell people if they ask what I do, I don't have a great answer. I'm like, I'm a stay-at-home mom. My kids are 24 and 21. Is there a problem with that? So that's just still my go-to answer. So, and that's not saying that's the only way to do it. That was my way to do it. And then I have friends who they have to work, you know, it's just in them and all of that. Yeah. And that's the best version of them for their kids. So it, whatever it is, you know, we all have our identity wrapped up somewhere. And then mine absolutely was because I was so involved in my kids' life. So that was quite an adjustment. Honestly, when Jesse was getting ready to leave, probably more than even when she left. So,
yeah, I'm feeling that big time. Ella's a junior and I'm already having these like panicky feelings. And I think I felt it the first time in maybe middle school when they were just, I'd rather be with my friends. And I was sitting there with my dog, you know, Maisie, just petting her, like staring at a wall. I'm like, wow, this is going to be. So I am with you. And I think a lot of moms listening will relate to it's been such a good commitment, but it'll be a hard loss,
and you've just crossed another big step, and it's when they start driving. Honestly, that in some ways is a bigger launch than launching them to college, because that's when you kind of, you lose the beginning of them, right? But you're glad they're still at home. So that's a huge step in the empty nesting process, is when they can just go and be on their own and you don't have that time in the car anymore. And, you know, those are big deals. So.
Yeah. Jeff, let me ask you this. I know, and maybe I'm making up this quote or stat, but someone said the first 10 years of your kid's life are so hard because it's also like a really pivotal growth point in a career for anybody, a woman or a man. So how did y'all navigate that? Like, I'm thinking of people, like there's empty nest decisions, but there's also people going like, if we make this move, like for Ron, I'm going to go up. I might work more, but it's better for our family. But also you're like, I want you at the baseball games. I want you at the cheer thing. So was that tough for you guys too, to balance those early years?
Well, we were really blessed that we worked with two organizations that valued family, you know, Chick-fil-A and North Point Ministries. And so that was so whatever I say from this point forward, that has to be, you know, a caveat that they, you know, in fact, the phrase that Andy Stanley coined is, you know, choose to cheat work. And so when you have it modeled from, you know, those kind of organizations, it's really easy, but it's still hard because you've got, you know, especially, I know Wendy probably feels like every 7 years we're going to go do something new now. Cause I, you know, I'm more of a starter. So it's like, okay, it's been 7 years. What are we doing now? And so starting something requires a lot of energy because you're creating something out of nothing. But I'd seen this model from her dad and my dad. My dad was in ministry. Her dad's very successful in business, but they never let that overtake the priority of family and marriage. And so Wendy and I often kid each other. We're like, we really have no excuse. we had this modeled for us with our family and with our parents. And then we worked for two great organizations that valued. But I think you have to get ahead of the calendar. If you don't get ahead of the calendar will get ahead of you and dictate to you. And then there are times where you have to go, I am going to sacrifice a career position because mm-hmm. my kids, and again, it's easy for us to see this now, but it goes so fast, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, after we're done, I'm heading to Florida to speak at something tomorrow. And so the tables have kind of flipped. Now Wendy's like, don't you have something to do? Can't you go somewhere? But I'm so glad that we were at the soccer games and the volleyball matches and all of that, because mm-hmm. now we have a great relationship with our kids mm-hmm. because we invested the time there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So great. Hey, Jeff, switching back to the book, what conversations were you having? Are you guys having within the church world or leadership world? I know you're very involved in all kinds of organizations, but what were you hearing from people that made you go, you know what, I'm going to take the time to write this book for people? It had to have been a need you were seeing, right?
Yes. And, you know, any idea starts with, you know, it's a journey. This book actually started with what to do in your 30s, because I had so many people in their 30s coming up, and they saw how we finished at Gwinnett, and they said, hey, we'd like to, when we step out, I say, we'd love for our marriage, you know, and kids and all this kind of stuff. So I thought, huh. But then the more I talked about it, and the more I had people asking me, hey, I'm thinking about leaving. My wife and I are talking about this. What do you think? That's where it kind of came with what to do next. But it was really, this is really just part of our journey from mm-hmm. deciding to leave Gwinnett to do what mm-hmm. we're doing now. And, but again, it was a joint decision for us to go, what do you think? Because this is a hard decision, because we just didn't leave, you know, a job. We left our church that we started, our community and all of that to venture out. So there's a lot of loss, a lot of grief, and a lot of moving forward. But I don't know how somebody does this without, you know, a spouse that's really, you know, supportive, and not only supportive, but we're making this decision together. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So, but it's not easy, but we didn't sign up for easy. We signed mm-hmm. up for worthwhile, you know, and we're paying attention and clues to, you know, when we launched this whole thing about, you know, for Gwinnett, many people are more familiar with what the church is against than what the church is for. I didn't know that other churches were paying attention to that. And I started getting t-shirts in the mail of, you know, for Pittsburgh and for Orlando and that kind of stuff. And so that was something that we started paying attention to. And Truett Cathy taught us, you know, take advantage of unexpected opportunities. And so that's what this has been. And we're just kind of following the Lord's lead.
Our kids crave connection with us and with God, and one of the strongest ways we can show love to our kids is through words of encouragement. That's why Christian Parenting created Noteworthy Prayers. These 50 customizable notes were designed to help you remind your kids that you love them, that you're thinking about them, and you're always praying for them. I got mine in the mail this week, and they are so great. I think my kids are going to love them. Each card has an uplifting message, a Bible verse, a prayer, and space for you to write your own note to your child. Simply tear off a page and place it in their backpack, their lunchbox, on a bathroom mirror, or even a car dashboard, wherever they will find it. And get creative. Remember, your kids are never too young or too old to hear how much you adore them. For more information and to get your cards, head on over to cpgive.org. That's cpgive.org. Resilient, courageous. These are qualities we want to describe our faith in God. But the truth is that faith is hard, especially when trials, setbacks, and failures seem to define us. Author and Bible teacher Alexandra Hoover invites you to join her for her newest Bible study, Without Wavering, Resilient Faith Built on the Promises of God. Alexandra Hoover will offer encouraging words of hope and examples of unwavering faith from the Bible. Drawing inspiration from the examples of faith in Hebrews 11 and the early church, you'll see that life's challenges don't have to define you. Through hope in Christ, you can become the woman who weathers the storms of life with renewed strength and confidence in who God is and who He says you are. Learn more about Without Wavering at lifeway.com/withoutwavering. That's lifeway.com/withoutwavering.
I'm trying to think of a quote you said. I know I've tried to memorize all your sermons. No, I'm kidding. But it was something about there's a difference between clarity and what was the other thing. It was like, because I'm thinking, Jeff, as you left and you and Wendy thought through it, it was not crystal clear. Like sometimes the decision is like, I you know, God's moving us. Remember what you compared it to, but how does that feel? And how would you encourage a family that's like, we're feeling a nudge to leave or to transition, but we don't totally know what's on the other side. That's scary.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a great question for Wendy, because imagine me leaving Chick-fil-A and other than the scandal about the cow, everybody, you know, you could see the career might have some traction here. And we're going to help start a church where the preacher's on video. And again, this is 20 years ago where this is kind of commonplace now, but that was kind of unheard of. And we have our little girl who's probably one or two. And so like, wait, and we're taking a massive pay cut. So, you know, as you looked at that, what was your...
Well, I think that was why, like I said earlier, that first priority of involving God in it is the key. I didn't trust Jeff because I didn't have to trust Jeff. I trusted my Heavenly Father. Mm. And then we both together did. And so Jeff has always led our family, you know, by following God first. And so it was a no-brainer, you know. And I mean, he's, you know, we all have seen it, especially now years later, but he even then had a proven track record. So sometimes I tell him this, I think I believe in him more than he believes in himself. And so, you know, it was like, absolutely, you can do this, you know, and this is what God's calling us to do. And was it scary with a little one? Yes. But there were also, there were pros to it, as with cons, you know. I mean, we didn't love leaving Chick-fil-A because it's such a great organization. But one thing that was a pro for us with little kids, he didn't have to travel. And so that he was going to be able to be home more. So things like that, you know, we're measuring and weighing all of that out. And we just, you know, were like-minded on the pros and cons of things and knew that that was what God was calling us to do. And like I said earlier, just talking to people, everything pointed in that direction. So
yeah. And something that really helped early in our marriage is we went through two small group studies about finances. And there are all sorts of financial studies nowadays, but we went through it twice, and that allowed us to get on the same page financially. Little did we know, a few years later, we'd have to take a huge pay cut. But because we had done that work and the Lord had really provided a lot of wisdom about how to do your finances, we were able to just move.
That was so much less of a consideration. We didn't have to worry about that because we knew where we were and we were prepared for anything. And and even, I mean, through our finances, God had prepared us for that because, you know, Jeff had done some work for about a year where it was just kind of a side gig while he was at Chick-fil-A of going around speaking and stuff. And he wasn't really pursuing that, but he was being asked to do that. And so we were like, you know what? This was kind of in the middle of our 3-year process. We were like, if God, you know, is really speaking to us, what we're going to do is take every dime that he makes this year, for, you know, speaking and all of that and give it back to the church. And so we were able to give that. And then that was like one way that God confirmed, like, hey, this is what I was preparing you to do. You know, this is, you're getting this experience speaking to these churches and stuff because I'm moving you to full-time ministry. So that was kind of cool that because of our finances, that was another step in the right direction. So,
and that's why I tell people, if you're not clear about what you want to do next, that's cool. I get that. What you've got to do now, though, is to climb the money wall. Because what I mean by that is position yourself in a way that when that opportunity does come, you can take it. What breaks my heart is someone who thinks, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. And then they suddenly discover it, but they're not in a financial position to pursue it because they haven't done the work to get there. And so it's kind of like when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And it's when you're ready financially, sometimes those opportunities come. Because sometimes I think the Lord may withhold the blessing because like, you don't need to see this now because you're not prepared for it.
Wow. That's good. That's good. You should write a book on this. Okay. So two things you maybe want to tell you. First of all, Wendy, I love that you said part of your desire is to affirm him when he doesn't believe in himself. And Ron and I just went to Colorado on like a 3-day, it was perfect timing because we're seeing 4 years down the road as empty nest. You know, he's not going to be an American forever. He's not quitting American. And so it was good for us to please keep paying us. It was good to get away and look at and dream about and talk about our passions. But one thing that I was not expecting is they asked him to fill out and say out loud what he sees in me and what he sees as my unique gifts. And he said some stuff I have not heard him vocalize. And I was like, oh God, course. And then I was able to do the same for him. And he was looking at me like, I think he said his existence was, I exist to provide so that your dream, my family's dreams are fulfilled. And I'm like, you think your whole existence is just to provide? So I had to say, no, it's so much bigger than that. And I hope you, so it was just such a cool exercise. And I think that we as spouses need to look for opportunities to do that, just like you did, and not go, yeah, you're right, you really do suck at that. Like, it's
like, now I do that on certain things around the house, but on the big things, and Jeff is a words guy, and I'm not a words person. So that has been something I've had to learn. But what I have learned is when I can believe in him and then speak that out loud, it's louder for him than it would be for me. So,
well, and that's why I love this opportunity, really, because they're, and particularly Wendy's got so much wisdom for moms, and she's got so much wisdom, just leadership and what she's experienced. And I don't think she knows it so as much as I can see it. And so when you ask her questions, you just see all this wisdom coming out of her, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so she's very wise. She knows this stuff. She's raised two great kids, but unlike me, she's a whole lot more fun to be around.
Because that I can get behind.
She brings the joy. Like when we left Gwinnett Church, the staff's like, Jeff, we're going to miss you, but we're really going to miss Wendy, right? And I love the fact that she didn't feel pressured to live up to some lead pastor's wife deal. Mm. She's like, you know what? I'm going to be me. And if you're not okay with that, that's cool. God loves me. Jeff loves me. And people are just attracted to that kind of authenticity. And she's just the real deal. And so people are drawn to that. And sometimes, and I understand this, you know, sometimes in church world, it's just, you got to project an image. She never did any of that. And I think that's why, our kids are drawn to her. I'm drawn to her. So many people are drawn to her.
Me too. Me too. And here, she has a strong karaoke game.
That's right. Now that I do. Yeah. All this other stuff, I think I have imposter syndrome, but I'll tell you, I think I have the reverse for karaoke. I think I'm way better than I actually am.
Did you and Lauren ever get your merch line done for your karaoke?
We had two t-shirts made and they were iron-ons and I didn't know that you needed to print them reverse. So they went straight from the merch table to the discount merch table because the picture was backwards. So therefore the words were backwards. So yeah, that didn't go very far.
All that I just said about wisdom, I now take back.
The marketing guy is like, two shirts backwards. This is not what I would have done.
Our audience of zero really didn't care that much either, though.
Hey, look, when he goes to speak in cities, you just do a little gig. Like you do karaoke and I feel like you could get paid for that.
I don't know. You hadn't been there.
Okay,
yet.
Switching gears back to parenting. Wendy, why don't you start this? As you look back, what are a couple of things that you're so glad you guys prioritized as a family?
Yeah. So one of the things that we always made a priority was family dinners together. And if you envision me cooking every night, that is completely wrong. But because I am not much of a cook, sometimes we would be at home and I would give it my best effort. But a lot of times being on the go, especially when the kids got in middle school and high school and you're going to events and everything, we would eat out a lot. But it was always a priority for us to be together, the four of us around a table. Wherever that table was, we were there. And so that was a huge thing because, you know, we just got to always catch up with each other. And I think like Jeff said, another thing we prioritized was just our presence. And that was huge that Jeff was always at those games as much as he could be. And, you know, I mean, I could be because that's what he allowed me to do. But, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, we're going to be at everything we can be and support them in every way that we can just, so, you know, because our presence often speaks so much to our kids. In fact, we actually went to a funeral. Our friend David Farmer lost his dad and we went to the funeral on Saturday. And it was really cool. All six of his, was it six grandkids? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All six of his grandkids spoke at this service. Every single one of them said the same thing. He was always at our games and they all are athletes and always had so much going on. And they were like, we always remember Grandbob was there. Grandbob was there. Every single one of them, like that was their testimony. So it was really cool. It was cool to kind of see the impact of that, but
yeah. All right, Jeff, I'm going to kick one over to you. We're going to start winding down, but you had already said a couple things you admire about Wendy, but will you make her uncomfortable one more time and tell her something you admire about the way You got to go next. So be ready with your answer.
Okay, I'm ready.
What is something you admire about the way she parents?
She is so intentional, and she balances grace and truth very, really, mm-hmm. really well. Whereas I'm just grace. you know, Jesus did grace and truth, and I'm just the grace dad. Hey, you know, but she can really do that line, you know, strike that balance between grace and truth, you know, yeah. And she understands that each kid is different. And so she parents them differently. Right. And so mm-hmm. she understands how to have grace and truth with Jesse and grace and truth with Cole. And mm-hmm. She was so great at each season, right? Each season of parenting mm-hmm. has its different challenges and its different, you know, you go from no more car seats to, oh no, they're now driving the car. So, I mean, suddenly mm-hmm. every season, and she just did every season exceptionally well. But the other thing is that she didn't let parenting take away from our marriage. Sometimes mm-hmm. you can get so focused on the kids that you forget that you're married. And then when you become empty nesters, you're like, who's this person living in my house? And so she was able to balance these kids are my, you know, a huge priority, but one of the best gifts I can give my kids is to have a healthy marriage. And so there's just so, and our kids love her, you know, and so I think they love her more than they love me.
That's not true.
That's
not true. Thank you. That's very sweet.
Very sweet. All right, Wendy, your turn to embarrass him.
Well, he took my word intentional, but and he has this phrase, if I can get it correct, his goal is to be an intentional memory-making, legacy-leaving dad.
He fulfills
that very, very well. He's always writing notes, and he's like this as a husband as well. So he's always writing all of us notes. I mean, I literally have saved them all. I have like shoeboxes and shoeboxes full of notes from him over the years. The kids do too. I'm not sure Cole's saved all of his, but Jesse, I think, has, or most of them. But, you know, they will never doubt, you know, how much their dad loves them because they're getting it in writing all the time. They might question whether or not I love them because they're going to have nothing from me. They might have one note, you know, happy birthday, love mom, you know, I'm not a writer. But I'm just like, sign my name on that one, you know, because he's always so intentional with that. He's intentional about, you know, doing... He says he's not fun. He is fun. He's very intentional about doing, like asking really, you know, crazy things just so we can go do this, you know? And so the story he tells when he's speaking is such a great one. He, you know, we were going out to California for Jesse's graduation trip and he reached out to Pixar and got us, I mean, it's a long story. I'll spare you all the details, but he reached out to Pixar and surprisingly got us a backstage tour of the whole Pixar offices. And we got to do that. And it was such a big moment for our kids. And Jesse specifically said, Dad, this is awesome. And that's, you know, that meant so much to him because he was like, this is what I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
He's always been the spiritual leader that we've needed as a family. He's always praying for the kids, praying over them when they leave. Let's circle up. Let's pray, you know, when they're going back to Birmingham and stuff. So always very intentional and just cares for us and protects us and provides for us really well.
Well, the only thing, I mean, you know, she said she doesn't do this, but she does do this because Jesse just finished this thing called 75 Hard, which is crazy. It's like 2 workouts a day and no sweet.
No, thank you.
So the day 76, when she's all done, a box of DC Georgetown cupcakes shows up at her door.
He was off sugar.
Yeah. And that was all Wendy because I don't know how to order anything online. And so that kind of, it's just, all that's just great. And so she's just focused.
Yeah.
But it's a, you know, it's definitely a new season. I remember, and I love your phrase. I just heard that. First is the worst, the last is the blast. Because when we dropped Jesse off at Sanford and we were crying, she was crying. I think we stopped and ate, you know.
Well, we got, you know, the Chipwich ice cream sandwiches. Jeff went in
and ate our grief
for gas.
Away, basically.
Yes. And he got two of those. We each had one. We didn't share one. We each had one. Then I think halfway home, we stopped at Crystal. That's how bad we were. So we're like grieving the whole way home. And then I tell people when we drop Cole off, I mean, we had to leave them both. They were freshman and senior and we're leaving them both. So that was really sad for about 30 minutes. And then once we get home, we're like, man, this is awesome. You know, and we tell our kids that. We love our kids so much. And honestly, parenting adult children is one of the most fun seasons you can be in. Yeah. So,
oh, good.
It is awesome.
You know what? You told me that about the teen years, and you were the first person that ever said something positive about the teen years. I mean, everyone you meet is like, oh, you just wait. And you gave me hope and a vision that it will be hard, but they are awesome. And I love this stage. They are hard. We cry.
Great?
We fight. But it's so fun. And so I appreciate you casting a vision that we're not all going to die. We're not going to cry all the time.
Well, you have amazing girls too. And they're so much fun. When Jesse and I were able to come out and stay with you once, they're a hoot. So y'all, I'm sure y'all have a blast because, you know, you and Ron are pretty good yourselves.
He's an entertaining human, human. Jeff, I want to say one more time, I think you know this, but you know, you had quite the impact on people as you were pastoring, but I was there with those first 5 years raising my kids and having babies. I mean, you baptized me. Ella was in my belly. You dedicated both of them. And so you're just, both of you are such a special part. And I think as I was forming, you know, I came to you and said, what about these ABC scripture cards? And you were like, go for it. And told me why, but then gave me caution. And Wendy, you've just been a wise counselor and a role model for me. So I love you both. I thank you both. And thank you for doing this.
Thank you. You're awesome, Court.
We love you. Okay. So grateful and so excited about this podcast. Thanks for doing it.
Yes.
Of course. Of course. All right. See y'all next time. You're coming back on, KK.
Okay. All right. We'll be here.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media at Pardon the Mess. And if you like this episode, I'd love for you to do two things. Press follow on whatever podcast platform you love, and also be sure to leave a rating so other parents can find us. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall has 5 new models under $30,000, over 600 used cars under $20,000, and new cars priced under employee pricing. More cars, more value at Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall.